How many of you are planners? You would say, hey, I'm a planner. I like to plan. Now, my wife's a great planner. Me, we have a saying around here oftentimes, is we're flying by the seat of Paul's pants because Paul doesn't know what he's doing and we don't know what Paul's doing. And so I'm not necessarily a planner. There are some things I get very stickler about, but for the most part, it's kind of like, I'm not really a planner. So while I'm asking that, we're in the Christmas season. How many are finished with all your Christmas shopping? Okay. You guys are planners, and the rest of us hate you. The other 99% of the people just really don't like you. We kind of make it easy. You know, just sit back online and go to Amazon and just download whatever you want. Or the perfect Christmas gift, money. It's the perfect size, and it's always the right color, you know. And so you don't have to worry about someone taking it back or, oh, yeah, thanks for that sweater, you know, that kind of thing. Some, I know like my mom, she usually has her Christmas done in July. You know, she's already got everything in July and already boxed up, and then she forgets where she puts it. And so we have a game. Let's find mom's Christmas presents. I want to talk about how we make plans oftentimes, but yet God interrupts those plans. I'm pretty sure some of us, when we look at our lives, there are situations that come up that maybe we didn't plan for. You know, for example, maybe we didn't want to be house hunting this time of year, but situations came up where I just can't continue to live where I'm at. Things are just going out hard, and so I'm having to navigate something different that I didn't plan on. Some of us have gotten recent diagnosis from the doctors, and it's like, I didn't plan for this. I'm supposed to do what now? You know, my life is about to change. Things are going to be different. Some are like, you know, this was a horrible time for my boyfriend or girlfriend to tell me that they don't want to be with me anymore, and I got to take this gift back, and what do I do? Some of us are facing maybe an empty chair for the first time this holiday season. And even if it's the second or the third or the fourth or the hundredth, and you see the empty chair, you're reminded of a loved one that should be there with you. You didn't plan for it, but it just happened. Well, we're familiar with the birth of Jesus in the story. And when we listen to the story, we see that the angel came and spoke to Mary, and then spoke to Joseph, and then spoke to the shepherds, and then Mary had this baby, and had this baby not the way that we thought she was going to have it. You know, she's on a donkey riding to a town when she's about to give birth, and she's like, this is crazy. You know, couldn't you got me a limo or an Uber or something, Joseph? Come on. And then they get to Bethlehem, and it's like, whoa, there's no room in the inn. What are we going to do? Joseph, you weren't a planner. You didn't get us a hotel reservation. What are we going to do? Well, okay, we can go in this stable, you know, this kind of rock, kind of smelly animals and things. Mary, you'll be fine. You'll love it. Can you imagine what isn't recorded? You know, we see all that, but imagine wasn't recorded. But this is likely maybe what happened. In other words, Mary, this young girl, is betrothed, engaged to this working man, this good man, Joseph. And he's a carpenter, and they got their life planned out. And I can imagine they're probably saying, like, you know what, let's save ourselves for marriage, you know? Let's do this right. We're going to get married. Let's get married in about 2 years. You get your business going, and I'll take care of the house and things like that. Then when things are ready, we'll get married. And then we'll start a family, Joseph. We'll start a family. We'll have a boy, and we'll have a girl, and the boy can grow up and be a carpenter like you, and you can pass on the family business, and I'll have a girl, and I'll raise her up to know God, and it's everything's going to be great. In fact, what we need to do is sign up for that Financial Peace University and make sure that we get all of our finances right. You know, we want to do this. And Joseph, are you going to open your own store? I mean, tell me, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this work? And then all of a sudden, the angel says, Mary, you're going to conceive and bear a child through the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the Savior of the world. God interrupts their plans. And so the angel comes and talks to Mary. And Mary's like, why me? And the angel explains, and she says, well, let it be done to me as you have said. And she's all excited, and she can't wait, because Joseph is going to be really, really excited when I tell him I'm pregnant and I've got the Holy Spirit's child, that the Savior of the world, the Messiah, is going to be born in me. But in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, everything begins to hit the fan. This is what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Can you imagine? Joseph, you're not going to believe this. I'm pregnant with God's child. The Savior of the world that the prophets have been talking about is in me. And we're going to raise him up. And so she has this conversation with Joseph, and Joseph is stunned. Joseph is stunned. He's devastated. He's embarrassed. And it's not written in there, but you can see it through the lines in there. Like, what is going on? But being a just man, it's like, look, I don't want to cause a scene, so we'll just divorce quietly. You know, I mean, this is a public, worse than a public humiliation. The announcements have already gone out. Hey, Mary and Joseph are going to be married. It's going to be a big party. And he trusted her. He loved her. He planned to spend his life with her. And now what? Because God interrupted their plans. We live in a time, and our culture tells us that once you're engaged, hey, break it off. You don't have to worry about it. You did what? You had a child, it may or may not be mine, fine, I'm out of here. Or you don't like the marriage you're in. Our culture tells you, you know what, it's okay. You can trade for what's behind door number two. Just divorce. Do whatever makes you happy. That's what our culture tells us. Can you imagine Mary responding back to Joseph? But Joseph, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. Now she's pregnant. She's all alone, and she breaks down. She says, God, I said yes to you, and Joseph is saying no to me. Everyone's going to think I'm the horrible person. There's going to be rumors talking about what's up with this Mary, you know. This isn't what I had planned. And that's where some of us are right now, that we're not where we plan to be at this point. We try to provide a good Christmas, and Margie and I were trying to do all these things, and then I found out her tires are really, really low. I didn't plan to have to spend my day getting her tires pumped up and getting stuff fixed, but it had to happen. Or Paul, I took your truck today, and the brakes are acting up. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, when I push the pedal, nothing happens. It's like, yeah, they're messing up. I didn't plan to have to take my truck back. I didn't plan on having to go to Sam's or Target or Costco during this crazy Christmas season to pick up some last-minute Christmas stocking stuff. Some of you, maybe you took a different job and you worked hard and you thought, man, this is going to be great, this is going to be great, this is going to be great. But then the company downsizes and you lost everything. Maybe you know somebody, or maybe you've experienced this. You said, I do. And you made a commitment between you and your spouse and God Almighty, and in front of witnesses, all your friends that were there. And you made this commitment that we will love each other till death do us part. But then it didn't turn out that way. There was infidelity, or there was something that broke the trust, and now somebody is gone. You didn't plan for that, but it happened. Or you raised your kids the best that you knew how. Man, we poured into these kids, these rascals. And now look what they've turned out. They're in prison. I didn't plan for this. This isn't what I wanted. This wasn't the plan. I don't understand. Well, let me tell you this. You don't have to understand the plan to know and trust that God has a purpose. There's a purpose in everything that is going on. In fact, Proverbs puts it this way, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So what's the plan? God is saying, trust my purpose. And that's hard for us to do. We want it to line up and do the way we want it to be. But God has different plans, and his plans are better and bigger than ours. Mary and Joseph's plans are wrecked at this time, what they thought was going to happen. So now what? What are we going to do? Going on in Matthew verses 20 and 21. But after he had considered this is Joseph, after he had considered this, I'm going to divorce Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God interrupts Joseph's plans. Oh, no, you're not going to divorce Mary. In fact, Joseph, I need you to raise this Christ child. I need you to teach him how to be strong. I need you to teach him what it means to be a man. And you're the one that I've picked for this. Wait. What are we doing in the middle of this mess? Is there purpose in the pain that you're going through? Yes. You may not be able to see it because we end up down in this valley and we can't see, we don't have that prophetic vision to see beyond that mountain in front of us, or we're so far down in the valley we can't see. But just like the psalmist says in 23, when we walk through the valley, he is with us and we won't fear. And sometimes when we're in that valley, man, we're just shaking in our boots because we can't see any way out. But we can trust that God knows where he's leading us. I know it doesn't feel good, but God is saying, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My purposes and my plans are different than your purposes and your plans. And sometimes God's greatest invitations could feel like our worst interruptions. God will interrupt us to get our attention and to bring us back to him. For me and Margie, you know, we had this perfect life planned out. You know, I was going to retire, and I was just going to let her work, and I was just going to sit back and bask. Not really. That was not our plan. But we're going along. We're navigating with the kids. We're teaching. Life seems to be going well. And then when we turn 40, Margie gets pregnant. We didn't plan that. I don't even know how it happened. I really don't. I mean, Philip looks just like me. He acts just like me. He sounds just like me. But I'm still not sure how it happened. It wasn't our plan. But yet God knew. And he turned it into, we call him our joy boy. Literally. I mean, he's like always in a good mood. He was like, man, if you're going to have a kid in your 40s and 50s, have Philip. In fact, if you need him, I'll be glad to pass him on to you. When we were looking for a place for our church, we bought some property over in the McDonough area. We said, oh, we're going to build a church here. And things just kind of kept not working out and working out. And God interrupted those plans. And he said, no, you're going to sell that land, and I've got the place for you. It's going to be right here. And so the people in the county says, oh, we're not going to approve another church going up because we're having to foreclose on all these churches, and we're not going to let you put up a church. And God just moved all those obstacles out of the way because that was God's plan, not our plan. I mean, we planned to be in McDonough, and we ended up here. And then we didn't have enough room for people to park. We were parking on the driveway up there for the church, and people were parked there and in the little parking lot around here, and there was land right here. And the agent said, oh, no, you can't get it for this amount. And we did. We got it at a real cheap amount, and we were able to pay a lot of it off because we sold the other property. And it was like God was moving things because his plan was different than our plan. We had plans, but thank God he interrupted our plans with his plan. And God often interrupts your plans with his plan and his purpose. Mary gives birth, and instead of a nice home with a midwife or a doula, she's traveling on a donkey. No hotels available. Joseph is in trouble. Didn't do the reservations. They give birth in a cave next to someone's farm animals. And Jesus is born. And we think, great, the king is born. Joy to the world. And yet the king Herod wants him dead. And it's shortly after he's born, they have to flee to Egypt. They're on the run because, and Mary's thinking, this isn't what we had planned. And it plays out all the way through the life of Christ. As he's teaching and crowds are loving him, there's a faction that is growing against him, and it goes all the way and leads him to the cross. Mary, the girl who three decades earlier said, "Yes, Lord, let it be done to me as you say," watches her son stripped, naked, beaten, hanging on a cross. It doesn't even look like a person. And Mary's thinking, this isn't what I had planned. This isn't what I had planned. Suffering. Jesus is on the cross. And he looks out and he says, "Father, forgive them and into your hands." And they watch him die. You don't have to understand the plan to know that God's plan is bigger. Because the story of Christmas that we celebrate, no one could have ever even planned or imagined that God became a man. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes as a baby, and the swaddling clothes are the cloths that they used to bury the dead. And there was a foreshadowing there. God, is this your plan? The Savior of the world would be crucified and just died, and all our hopes and dreams with him? What is this about? But then God intervenes again. He has a better plan. And Jesus rises from the dead, overcomes sin, death, and hell. And so for us to be right with God, do we need to be good? No, Jesus was good. And so he is the sacrifice. Do we need to be righteous? No. Christ was righteous. Mary and Joseph had a plan. God had a purpose. And you were that purpose. And so all of this story is meant to bring us joy. Joy in the midst of maybe a lot of stuff going on in your life. And you're sitting back going like, what is this about? What's going on? I don't understand this. You don't have to understand it. You just have to trust it. To know that God has a plan and God has a purpose, and you are his purpose, and you are the reason for the plan. Oh, Father, I just thank you so much for loving us, guiding us, directing us, and giving us your son, Jesus. Father, we couldn't have ever imagined a story that had all of these elements in it, but Father, we just thank you that Christ is God. Christ is our Lord. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our King. And we thank you for that. And Father, during this season when we get caught up in all of the craziness and all of the hurrying and the scurrying and everything that just kind of invades us during this season, Father, help us to just stop and be joyful. To be joyful and thankful. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.